Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
God raises up certain individuals to lead in His church, but He raises up all individuals to be lights and witnesses in this dark world. All of us. We can't afford to get off track. We're not raised up to primarily debate the Scriptures. The Scriptures are truth without debate and without defense. They're truth. We're raised up primarily to live and to show the world they are without excuse because God transforms lives.
In today's message, Pastor Troy will remind you that everyone in the body of Christ is created with a purpose. Some are called to be pastors, missionaries, worship leaders, or other leaders in the church. And within the church, we tend to think that these are the most important roles within the body of Christ. But we all still have a purpose. You may not be called to the ministry, but you are called to live your life as an example of God's grace and mercy. You're called to share your faith with people in your life. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 13 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Another thing that he called men to was to follow him. We're called to follow him. Lay down our lives to pick up our cross and to follow after him because there's power in a life that's totally committed to him. And he's equipping us through that to be the lights that carry his truth to the lost world. And that's something else he's preoccupied with, those who are lost. Not those who've heard it, and we continually try to pound into them. And they just don't seem to listen, and so I'm going to keep grabbing them by the throat. No, Jesus had a tendency to move on and say, okay, well, I will take this to whoever is going to listen. There comes a time when those who aren't listening, you just stop casting your pearls before, and you ask the Lord, who's the next audience? So who is it that you want me to pour into now? Because I know you want me to pour into somebody. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Hebrews were being tempted to return to rituals and rules, tradition, religion, family. It's just for the sake of their old job, their old family, their old... It just kept them back. It would keep them back. And so there was that temptation. And that never changed them at all. They were stuck being the same. Never growing. Never going beyond it. They were stuck. So the author's challenging them to look to Christ and what he was about. Because this transforms your life. This changes you. God raises up certain individuals to lead in his church. But he raises up all individuals to be lights and witnesses in this dark world. All of us. We can't afford to get off track. We're not raised up to primarily debate the Scriptures. The Scriptures are truth without debate and without defense. They're truth. We're raised up primarily to live and to show the world they are without excuse because God transforms lives and because he brings lives from so many backgrounds and so many places of desperation where everything is stacked against those lives. There are examples everywhere to point to. Well, I can't do this because of where I was born and I had every disadvantage. Oh yeah? Well, consider this person, consider this person, consider that person. And our testimony becomes to them a condemnation if they don't respond to the gospel. They're without excuse. We can't afford to get caught up in the wrong things. Some of the wrong things is what he mentions next, getting caught up with various doctrines and movements and things that get us off course. In fact, some study and argue doctrines more than they live the life. And so he says, verse 9, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace. Not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them, The third thing we'll talk about is, that's a key to having a stable faith, remember his standard. We need to look to godly leaders because they give us an example, a model, even a modern day model to follow. We can ask them questions, and that's helpful too. We need to keep our center on Jesus, lest people take us off course, so that we have a practical faith that is being developed. We've got to be very careful that we don't get caught up in divisive arguments about things that aren't essential and that we don't have full information on, that maybe in our finite minds, we can't completely comprehend, because after all, God is God and we're not. God's word does an internal work that produces external works that cause us to have a passion for him, because he saves and we are thankful and we're excited about what he's done. That's a true transformation. Your heart is to be established by this grace. Grace. Because our response, our natural response to grace, is overwhelming gratitude. And when you have an overwhelming sense of gratitude, you act different. It's not about following rules and who can do that well. You can do that well and be a bitter person. It doesn't change your attitude, but to have a heart of gratitude changes everything about you. It's been said, gratitude is the attitude that sets the altitude of the Christian life. We're called to fly. So, it's not about a willingness to follow rules and rituals, because things like abstaining from foods and all of that, they don't change the heart. They don't allow you or cause you to really minister to anybody because you follow some rules. It truly is about being devoted, devoted to the Lord. And with devotion comes commitment to him. There are a lot of areas or doctrines that we could get caught up in and chase. Tons. We don't have time for all of them. I'll mention a couple of them. The prosperity gospel. It's a gospel that says the good news is you can be healthy, wealthy, and wise. So it's not about heaven and what Christ has done. You're a sinner. You need a savior. Yeah. There's more than that. That's, but you can have wealth and riches. If you claim it, you can have it. There's a prosperity gospel that says as Christians, we can have everything. And if you don't have faith, well, that's why you don't have health. Well, that's why you don't have this. These are men and women who, they've been blinded. These are men and women living above what a real Christian should be living. They've set themselves above where they're not touched. Everything's good. Everything's golden. People are serving them. That's the only one who can have that kind of a perspective. Because those out in the mission field, all that I've talked to, they don't have that perspective. They're giving their lives. They go through aches and pains daily. They experience nearness to death, loss of vision, all of those things. So it just doesn't pan out. It just doesn't make sense, especially in light of those who've made the statement, hey, these guys are not saved, we are. If they attack us for some reason, we're not going to fire upon them. Like Nate Saint and some of those who were with him when they ministered to the Auca Indians in Ecuador. And they were killed by these savages that they were trying to minister to. They gave their life. Now, that's not prosperous. So the prosperity gospel is out there. We can't get caught up in it. No, God's main point right now is not that you have everything you want. He's not a father who spoils. He's a father who saves. And trust me, when we are in heaven, there's no spoiling down here that's good enough to compare to what we will find ourselves amongst up there. Then there's the shepherding movement. The shepherding movement sounded good. You need somebody to shepherd you. So we'll assign you to this person. You're under them. You got to ask them everything because you don't know. You don't know the scriptures. You don't know how to make decisions yet. So you ask them everything. If you think that person's supposed to be your wife, you go to your shepherd and talk to them. And they set this hierarchy of basically lordship, ownership, and it became very abused. You could see how that could become very abused. I'm your shepherd and the Lord's been putting on my heart. You need to give me your truck or your wife or you name it. How about the gold filling angel feathers, barking like a dog. God's pouring his spirit out upon me. That must be really good. I got to have some of that. My dad said about the gold filling one time. He said, it seems to me that if God were going to fill teeth, he'd fill it with the original substance. I said, you know, that kind of makes sense. He put it there, didn't he? He made it. Then there's the emergent church. Their wisdom is this. Nobody can understand the scriptures. It's God's word. And so whatever it says to you, that's what it says. Now, the scripture that I read says it's not up for private interpretation. There is a meaning. There is something that happened and there's an application from it. God did have an intention. It's not just read it and whatever you feel like it means to you, that's good. So the emergent church is void of truth. You can't have solid truth. You know, it's like, it means this to me and it means that to you. Okay, that's good. That's good for you. That's not the Bible. But not just these, which are in error, we can also get caught up with an overemphasis of certain texts in the scripture so that we become a little strange or we get into fights, get off course, like those who are always, always concerned about revelation. You call them the Christian preppers.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website. buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. They're always setting up the food, doing this, and when the Lord comes, and this is going to happen. Was the moon red? Was that red? Is that red? Because they're always worried about what's going on, the final days, and I think that's the Antichrist. I think the Lord's telling me that's the Antichrist. No, the Lord's not telling you that. No one's going to know who that is. And the reason is because those who would guess who he might be are going to be gone. The church is wise. The scripture says you're not blindsided by the devil's tactics. I've given you information, insight. And so really the end times and the revealing of that final man of perdition can't happen with you here, you know-it-alls. You're the church. I gave you the answers. I gave you the book. And so I'm going to call my Holy Spirit and you guys out of here so I can let this unfold and there will be a great deception. So we can get caught up overemphasizing Revelation, the Ten Commandments, where we become real legalistic, or predestination. I have no choice in the matter. I'm predestined. That happened because it was predestined. You know, they said the difference in somebody who is, say, a Calvinist, a staunch Calvinist, where predestination is you can't respond to God. You know, it's God. You can't do anything. You have no choice, no nothing. It's predestined. It's just a video playing. They say the difference in a staunch Calvinist like that and, say, an Arminianist or a Christian who doesn't believe in that is the Christian who doesn't believe that we don't have any choices. We'll fall down a flight of stairs or something, you know, slip, stumble, fall down a flight of stairs and go, wow, I need to make sure I don't step there or do that again. Try to fix it. But a Calvinist who's staunch in their predestination position says, after they fall, well, glad that's over, and move on with their life. Because it wasn't about a mistake. That was going to happen. That was God's will. It was going to happen. So whatever we endure, it was going to happen. I'm just glad I endured it and got through with it. That would relieve me from all responsibility of everything. I wouldn't have to fix or correct anything. Why is it good that the heart be established by grace? Because freedom says a lot about where someone's heart really is. Freedom does. The opportunity to make a choice, you know? The reason we need to be established by grace and to be givers of grace is because when you let others be themselves, then you will find out who they really are. When you give them freedom, when you give them leeway, you find out who they are. Knowing and following rules that have been imposed can make somebody look good on the outside. There are lots of people who are just rule followers. Doesn't mean they have a good heart or they're not arrogant. It just means they're good at following rules. But God is concerned with the heart. So we're to understand that God sees, God knows, and you have to let people have the freedom to have that relationship with the Lord. They can't be in submission to you all the time. They must be in submission to the Lord. When I began to grow in the Lord, I learned, I had an understanding that wherever you go on the internet leaves a trail. There is a trail. People could go back and you can wipe your computer, you can do what you want to, and there is a trail. They can find out where you go on the internet. If they wanted to, they said, okay, you're a big time pastor now. You're somebody who wants to really minister. Let's go back to your internet usage. Oh, we see all of this stuff. Our Netflix records, for those who have Netflix, they've got those stored too. They know what you watch. So I had an understanding of this early on as I started thinking, I'm growing in the Lord, was convicted about certain movies and stuff. And I'd say, well, I'll just watch it. And I thought, man, you know what? It's on my record if I do that. So it kind of kept me from doing all of that, watching certain movies and doing certain things on the internet. And so it kept me out of trouble. It was like the law helped me, understanding that. Who knows how much trouble I could have got in or what I would have watched without that understanding. But listen, now in my life, I'm so busy about the Lord's business, I'm not even tempted with those things. I don't have time to surf the internet or do certain things. I don't have time for certain movies. So it's not the temptation for me now. I've grown into a place where those things are behind me. There are obviously other things that we're always challenged with. But as we grow, we need to let grace be established in our life and in others' lives. We need freedom to make choices because those choices say who we really are. Are we really going to be responsible to God alone? Or are we only going to behave or be good when people are around? Because honestly, guys, when I'm talking earlier about leadership in the church, God blesses a church whose leaders are genuinely accountable to Him, not a church whose leaders are doing a good job keeping their trash or their private life private. I believe that with all my heart. And so I want to keep my life in that place where I believe the true and living God who sees me, I want to be blessable. Our home, the same way. And for the leaders, I call them, I ask them to have that kind of a stand. We need to be established in grace so that we live by faith and that we extend that same grace to others. You know, people are a little afraid of grace. Let me read something that was in Decision Magazine, the magazine put out by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. It says, Christians often speak about grace with 1,000 qualifications. They add all sorts of buts and breaks. Listen for them. Our greatest concern, it seems, is that people will take advantage of grace and use it as a justification to live licentiously. Sadly, while attacks on morality typically come from outside the church, attacks on grace typically come from inside the church. The reason is because somewhere along the way, we've come to believe that this whole enterprise is about behavioral modification. And grace just doesn't possess the teeth to scare us into changing. So we end up hearing more about what grace isn't than about what grace is. Where disobedience flourishes, it is not the fault of too much grace, but rather of our failure to grasp the depth of God's one-way love for us in the midst of our transgression. Grace refuses to be controlled by our innate sense of fairness, reciprocity, and even-handedness. It defies logic. It has nothing to do with earning merit or deservedness. Grace is unconditional acceptance given to an undeserving person by an unobligated giver. It is one-way love. But while grace does not demand payment in return, it does something fantastic. It inspires the very things that the law demands. The law prescribes good works, but only grace produces them. It's only grace that can change a heart and produce law-filling works of mercy and selfless acts of service to our neighbor. The grace of God, giving them room to grow in grace, shows you who they really are. So instead of dangling the carrot and saying, you have to be here or else you'll lose your position, you watch people. And you watch who's really going to be there and who's not. And then those who aren't, you can talk to, or you can say, Lord, start sending those who will replace them, because obviously they're not going to last too much longer as the stakes go up. The heart that genuinely receives grace receives the Spirit of God. And the heart that receives the Spirit of God produces the fruit of the Spirit. That's what you want to watch for. So remember the standard. It's not ritual. It's a relationship, a life-changing relationship, one where there's a commitment, not just God's commitment to that person, but that person's commitment to God, and if called to be one of the leaders in the church, to that body, that church. The standard examines not the works, but the motivation or the motive behind the works. Is it a response to personal ambition or a response to a love for God? Chapter 13 gives us practical application, a practical way to demonstrate and live out the faith in Jesus who's been built up all along up through these 12 chapters. How do we live it out practically? What does that mean for us? So he says, if you want a stable faith, remember his shepherds, follow their example, look to them, pray for them. Remember his son. Jesus is the one who keeps us on course and no other. Hebrews 12 tells us, let us run our race with endurance, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then remember his standard. It's not rules that you follow. It's relationship with him. It's a commitment to whatever it is God has called you to meet more than the bare minimum, but to be all in. And it's made available to us by grace. In the past, I have told some, this is a pastoral position. If you're faithful, and faithfulness is being here on time, being here, putting this first, doing all of these things, if this is where you're called to be and invest your time, this is a pastoral position. We're not going to make anyone a pastor right away, but this is that role. So it's yours to lose. Be faithful. And I find that when you give grace and that much freedom, there's a lot of people who don't rise up. But the ones who do will be leaders who are worth their weight in gold. It takes a long time to build a foundation, a solid foundation. And so we should be patient and trust the Lord and pray that he does his weaning work, weeds out, builds up, calls to himself. But pray for your leaders, because their job is not an easy one.
Faith is something that sounds easier than it realistically is. As we've continued to study through the book of Hebrews, though, we hope you've noticed just how often faith is referred to. Many people have held on to their faith despite trials and despite personal mistakes. This wasn't easy, but we have their lives, the Word of God, and the support of the body of Christ to help us thrive. Here at Building on the Solid Rock, we realize how hard this journey of faith is for everyone. We want you to know that we pray for you often. If you ever have a specific prayer request, please email us at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can find out more about this ministry as well as listen to other messages from Pastor Troy by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast while you're there to never miss a new edition of this program. That site again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Troy will continue walking with us through Hebrews next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.